Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled, How Then Shall We Live? A message Pastor Wayne gave following the last election. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, How Then Shall We Live?
You say, Wayne, where did everything start to slide? Because we were birthed under Christian principles, a Judeo-Christian ethic is what our justice system is made out of. If you go to the Washington Monument, if you go to Jefferson's home in Monticello, there are just panels of scripture. We find it in the Declaration of Independence. Now, with firm reliance on divine providence, we now give our homes, our lives, our future to this Declaration of Independence. With reliance, with a firm reliance on divine providence. And we even say it in the amendments about the fact that we've been given inalienable rights. By whom? By our Creator. It's right in there in the writ of our Declaration of Independence and Constitution. We say, Wayne, where have we slid? Well, things are going pretty well. But let's go back just to the 50s, to the 70s. I say Christianity had what we call a home court advantage, which means if you were known as a Christian, you would have benefits. For example, if a lady said, my daughter is dating a nice Christian boy. If you're that boy, you're in the pink. You're doing good. That company is run by a nice Christian owner. In that time, it was like a widely held philosophy of those who had a faith experience and a deeply held faith and people who innately knew right and wrong and lived such a life. So if you identified as a Christian, then wonderful, had great benefits. But as time went on, things slowly began to erode, very, very slowly. So that people still called themselves Christians, but they had a very loose affiliation with faith. And they went to church just because mom went to church. And it became a cultural thing, a very slow erosion of morality and right and wrong. To the point where today, and I listen to some people that have moral differences with Christianity, and I do not blame them at all, because they really sincerely feel that they're doing fine. And so for me to condemn them is wrong. It really is a bigoted perspective. I have to understand that they have no idea because no one taught them the difference. And so I see the very slow eventuation of moral slide or the moral landscape has shifted. How? I call it the frog in the kettle syndrome. The frog in the kettle. Very slow. What we thought was wrong changes just a little bit, changes just a little bit until, oh, okay, that doesn't sound as wrong. Okay, it's still the same action, but sounds a lot better. For example, it used to be if you unduly profited from someone's hurt or accident, if you unduly profited from that, it was like wrong. That's unfair. But today it's called good business. You just change the nomenclature, you change language, and it very slowly erodes. Let me give you some examples because it really does begin with a language that slowly changes. Now, I'm going to give you some words, three or four of them on the screen, and you'll see the first one is a little shocking. But then the third or fourth word will be much easier, and that's the word that we're using today. And I want you to see this. You got to see this. How the slow eventuation of language makes things acceptable that once was not, just because of the way we refer to it. Now, the first is going to be a little shocking, so hold on. So, it used to be homosexuality. Oh, that's too harsh. And then domestic partnerships. Oh, that's better. Civil unions. Oh, that's better. Gay marriage. How's about marriage equality? Yes, I can accept that. You understand? It's the same as the first, but a language changes and it's now acceptable. Mark my words, this is exactly how they actually architect this. The second is, here's a tough one, the first word is abortion. Ouch! Pro-choice, that's better. Now it's women's reproductive rights. Ooh, I like that. Can you see that? Hope you can catch that between the first word and the last word. Very slow. Here's another one. It used to be when I smoked stuff, they called it dope. And so I'd say, hey, man, don't call me a dope. Well, you're a dope, man. That's doping. No, it's not. That's illegal. It used to be illegal drugs. And then it went to medical marijuana. I feel better. And then Washington voted in favor of legalizing, as did Colorado, and now it is a controlled recreational use. Same as the first, but don't call it illegal drugs or dope. And I asked some people, and I read a whole bunch about why did they legalize this? You know what the government said? As soon as we legalize it, we take hundreds of millions of dollars away from the cartels for smuggling it. And we make hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue and taxes. So I said, so the only difference is the government is now the cartel and it's legal. Yeah. Why should the cartels have $100 million plus? We should have it. One of the things you'll have to understand is in this new society, mammon is the main god. Same thing is true with gay marriages. It was Maryland that said it's good for business. It's about money. And if they think they can get money and tax it, then morality is secondary. Mammon is primary. That's just the way it's going to go. You say, but we're living in the society. Get used to it. Is it going to get better? No. You must understand how we shall live. And if we lose our identity, it makes it worse. Matthew 5 says, you are the salt of the earth. I didn't say majority. You are the what? Salt of the earth. You will never be the majority. Salt is not the majority of the turkey. It's very small. But it's okay. You don't have to be the majority. If you'll just remember one thing, just never lose your savor. Don't lose your taste. If you lose your taste, you'll be good for nothing except to be trampled underfoot. And if you talk to a lot of people outside the church, they say the church is really good for nothing except to be trampled underfoot. Why? Because we're not influential in God's eyes? No. You lose your savor, and that's exactly what he said will happen. So we must retain our identity to make sure that we are clear on our purpose. Let me give you a sidebar. You want a few more factoids? Yeah. This will blow your mind. Are you ready? In Colorado, they passed the marijuana for recreational use. Now, I want you to see the vote count on this. Here it is. President Obama got 1,149,000 votes in Colorado. Marijuana, 1,181,000 votes for marijuana versus no marijuana. That means 32,000 more votes went for marijuana than for President Barack Obama. Now, I'm not just saying anything about the president, but just take a look at the mentality of the United States citizens there. 32,000 more people voted for a Hawaiian girl named Mary Jane Pakalolo than President Barack Obama. I mean, that's sobering. Now, when they do a poll, here's something more sobering. When they do a poll, 42% of America primarily said they go to church. They're Christians that attend church. 42%. All the polls and surveys, around 42%. Now watch this. Of the 1,181,000 voters that cast a vote for recreational use, about how many do you think would call themselves Christians? Yeah, about 40 to 50%, about half of them. So if we don't understand right or wrong and we're a part of that number, do you understand why people out there have no idea what to do? Because we don't. That's why God says, you'll be the minority, but it's okay. I will still bless the nation because of you. If you don't, lose your savor. Don't forget who you are. Just like the Apostle Paul. Paul, you don't know how important... No, I'm just a nobody. I'm about to be beheaded. Paul, you don't know how critical you are to the future of nations. No, I'm a nobody. No, but you are solid, radically following Jesus Christ. And God is going to use you to bless nations. You understand the Abrahamic covenant? When God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and through you all the nations will be blessed. What was Abraham? He was the father of our faith. And do you understand what God said to one man? He's saying to us, I will bless you, and through you I will bless this nation. You're the barometer. Not what happens in the White House as much as what happens in God's house. And when leaders in churches endorse wrong things, all the worse. Will people rise up? No. When a Christian leader says, it's okay the way you live, people love it. Yes, you should have heard the multiple thousands of Twitters that went out Tuesday night when marijuana was legalized in Washington. Oh my goodness. Let me read, this is verbatim now. There were hundreds of thousands of tweets, but let me read just one from a girl named Libby. I think you'll enjoy this one. But just take a look at how far we've gone past the line of no return. I don't think we can rewind the tape. We just have to understand how then shall we live. Listen to this tweet, and it just is a respective of representative of so many others. This is Libby. Wow, a black man is reelected. 19 women are in the Senate. One is openly a lesbian. Weed and gay marriage is legalized. Man, now this is progress. Now, understand, I'm fine with President Obama being reelected, but can you see the rest of this? It's like, what are you saying? It's just weird that openly gay and weed is legalized, progress. So I thought, that's interesting. Would you read this with me? Go. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and the people love it so. You're going to see people cheering for wrong, and they just go wild. Especially when in the Washington Post just last week, the headline said, faith leaders on both sides. Now watch how split we are in the church. Reverend Delman Coates of Mount Enron Baptist Church led the coalition of religious leaders in support of... Meanwhile, on the other side, Reverend Derek McCoy, pastor at Hope Christian Church, led the efforts to overturn that law. Can you see? Now, both sides are led by religious leaders, and they're neutralizing one another. That's exactly what Satan wants to do, get us to neutralize each other. He does not have authority to destroy the church or anything. There's only one group on the face of the earth that God has given authority to overcome the enemy. That when we say be gone, he has to obey. You have authority over hell, he said to this group. What is that group? It is the church. No other group has been given that authority. You have great authority. That's why God says you're the barometer of a nation. You go sideways, they go rogue. You split up, everything is benign. There, it just neutralizes us. So since Satan doesn't have the authority to destroy the church, he gets us to destroy each other. And when we tolerate that, he giggles. He twitters to all his demon minions of hell. Look what's going on. We're getting the church to neutralize themselves. see how important you are. Today, I want you to understand that regardless of the election, one, we must come back together and support our government. Whatever God's doing, that's His doing. But number two, get back to who God has called us to be. Oh, every time God sends prophets to the church, it's to bring them back to Himself. Let's read this. Go. He sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, it's time for us to listen. We must listen. Otherwise, we'll miss it. Here's another one. God says in Jeremiah, read it with me, go. You have forsaken me, says the Lord. I will winnow them with a winnowing fork. I will bereave them of their children. But still, they would not repent. You know what God's goal is? God's goal every time is to get the people to know that He is the Lord. So what's His goal? Real simple. His goal is always for His people to return to Him. You say, Wayne, is Christianity diminishing? Are we like Europe, just about 100-year delay, where just Christianity diminishes? No, no. You know what I believe? Here it is. Christianity is not diminishing. Cultural Christianity is. He's squeezing out the squishy middle because there's no middle ground anymore. The Lord says, hey, listen, you'll either be hot or cold, but you can't be squishy anymore. As Joshua says, I don't know who you're going to choose. If God is God, serve Him. But I tell you what, me and my house, we have chosen to what? Serve the Lord. That's right. Christianity is not being collapsed. It is being clarified. You can write that in your notes. Christianity isn't being collapsed. It's being clarified. The Bible says in Isaiah 37:31, let's read it in our notes. Go. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. If we're going to be a people of God, we must take root downward. Well, how do you do that? Did you write in your notes? First of all, here's the first thing we need. Number one, we need to return to a clarity of purpose. Remember, Christianity isn't being collapsed, it's being clarified. So don't forget who you are. Just like the Apostle Paul. Paul, do you know how important you're going to be to the nations? Don't forget. We are just passing through. Let's read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Go. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous. We are to proclaim the excellencies of Him. Don't forget who you are. So the first is we need a clarity of purpose. The second thing is this. There's going to be laws that are going to be passed that are not going to be moral. But I'm going to give you two words. Are you ready? There are two words you need to know. One is theism. The other is statism. Theism and statism. Theism means theos, God. Theism means God's laws are above all. Doesn't matter what other laws the Greeks might have or the Romans have or America has or Europe has or Canada has. Those are subsequent laws, but God's laws are the ones we live by because that's our citizenship. That's our country. We live by God's laws, theism. Statism is the state determines what's right or wrong for you. The state will determine what's moral or immoral. The state will determine how you'll live and how you'll not live. That's called statism. You have to make a choice. Are you going to be people of God or people of the state? God has called us to be citizens of heaven. That's just passing through. This is not our home. We live by a higher law. So the people of God that's going to be refined are those that have a commitment to God's laws. A commitment to God's laws. Well, it's legal, isn't it? Not with God. Yeah, but it's okay here. We're not of here. We're passing through. We're of God's country. And then if you don't have this, please press in to having a firsthand, genuine relationship with Jesus. Not a secondhand. Well, I go to church because my parents. Has to be that Jesus has spoken to you. Get a firsthand, genuine relationship, because you know what God's looking for? A people radically following Christ. No compromise, no pretense. Oh, sure, we'll make mistakes here, but our heart is set on God. That we will be avid disciples and avid followers and avid students, because in the end, it's not what you've done for yourself that's going to count. It's what you've done for the kingdom of God. Be a people. Our greatest legacy at New Hope that I'd like to have in the future will not be the size or scope of New Hope. I want people to one day look at New Hope, and whenever they think of New Hope, they say, those people loved Jesus. That will make more difference than you'll ever realize. Now, we are in the end days. And if you look at the morality of our nation, we have crossed the line of no return. We have to live differently. Christianity is not going to be diminished. It's going to be defined. It's not going to collapse. It's going to be clarified. Because there's a remnant of God's people that'll send their roots down deep so they can bear fruit upwards. Our economy is not going to get all that much better. The deflation of the dollar is where it's at. And if you take a look at the last 30 years, it's gotten the same. It's just continued to reduce in its value. Other nations have to come up. You want to talk about distribution of value, the shifting of the financial epicenter. All the other nations have to come up. It used to be the euro or European money was much less, and Japanese money was much less, and the dollar could buy lots of yen. Now, yen buys lots of dollars. There's an equalization of the financial balance to the world, which means our money was this high, now it's going to be that high. It'll be much lower. That's just how it is. We have to learn to live that way. There'll be a much greater pressure on the people of the United States for taxes. It won't just be federal and state. It's going to be taxes on everything till you're paying 50% of your income will be going to the state. Whether it's driver's license or you're going to get a house or you're going to get another car, there's going to be taxes built in everything. The gas you buy, the food that you buy, you add all of that up. Half of your income will be taxed. We have to live smarter. But in all of that, never forget the purpose why God put us here. It's not for ourselves. It's for the kingdom of God. And if you will remember that, then you'll be a people who are clarified and defined as the people of God. Everything's going to get tough, and God will not be able to bless unless there's a people that bends their knees with humility and says, God, forgive us. With people like that, God will begin to work in Hawaii. And my prayer is New Hope will be that kind of people, that kind of church, and you'll be counted among that number. That's our heart, that's my heart, and I'm going to challenge you to make it yours. Will you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. It's going to be a new era. But what I want you to do is not wait for all of this to surface, but instead clarify back to who we are. Be a people of God. Say, God, what is it in my heart that needs to change? Change. Do I need to be a people of worship? You don't need to just wind me up for that. To follow your laws. God, I want to do that. Set your heart on Him and be the people that God created us to be. Hawaii will be blessed because of that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful love. Thank you that you've helped us to be and want us to be, and we want to be people radically in love with you. So we give you praise for that, and we give you honor, and we give you glory. Thank you for New Hope. Thank you for allowing us to be the people of God. And I pray, Lord, that those who may not have a genuine firsthand relationship with you, we'll begin that today, that we will know you personally, not at a distance, but up close and personal. Please do that. Help us to be indeed the people of God, in public and in private. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give him a thank offering to say thank you, Lord?
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, How Then Shall We Live? A message given by Dr. Wayne Cordero following the last election. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.